So thankful for the anointing of God. Do you know what the anointing is? It's the presence of God. It's the touch of God. It's God in the midst of us. It's God with us. God's word says that he's here with us. He'll never leave us or forsake us. God is not only with us, he's in us. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you've been made new. 2020 new. You've been made new in God, and the things of the past and the things that so easily entangle you, the sins that have tripped you up are no longer because you're new in Christ Jesus. It's his power, it's his anointing, it's his touch that can set us free. It's where he is going is where we want to go, right? And I don't want to stay still. I don't want to be the same believer that I was in 2021. I don't want to be the same person. I don't want to be the same father. I don't want to be the same husband. I don't want to be the same pastor. I don't want to be the same believer. I don't want to be the same friend, the same sibling, the same son or daughter. I don't want to be the same. God, make us new in 2020 new. Amen. That's a good word, baby. That's a good word. Amen. If you're not familiar with what just happened, tongue interpretation, there's a thing in God's word. It says when God's presence would come upon you after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the upper room about 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, it's better that I go because I'm going to send another. Tarry, tarry is another word, not for somebody in here. If you're tarry, say hallelujah. I know you're in here. But tarry is not, it's spelled different, I think. So I don't know, I'm a bad speller. But tarry means wait. So wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, and it started with 500, and only 120 actually waited upon the Lord. And they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. They spoke with other tongues. They were empowered that they were speaking with heavenly languages, earthly languages, and they were preaching. And it says that very day, there was a bold message that was preached from a guy named Peter who followed Jesus for 3.5 years and then denied him 3 times. Man, anybody denied Jesus before? Denied him 3 times, was filled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 plus came to God that day, right? We love that story in a Pentecostal church, man. That just gets us going. It's like, that's one of my favorites. But what happened was they spoke with a tongue that did not make sense to man. And people in that time said, man, are they drunk? They said, no. I think it said the 6th hour, which represented like around noon or 10, around, it was sometime in late morning or something like that. And so they're like, no, they can't be drunk already. Something's going on here. The presence and the power of God is here. And so they spoke with other tongues. And so what we believe is the Bible teaches there was multiple encounters that when people laid hands on people or people got together or the power of the Holy Spirit came upon people. God came as a tangible presence. People spoke with a heavenly tongue. And this guy that wrote most of the New Testament told us that he prays in tongues more than anybody. And so he believed that, and we still believe that today. It's hard to believe what a man wrote, but don't believe what a man did. Come on now. That was from God. We believe in most of the New Testament that he wrote, right? We believe in that the majority of the New Testament, we believe in that, but we don't believe what he did. And so oftentimes what we do is we got to be recharged and remember the things of God's word. And there's a tongue interpretation, and it says it's equal to prophecy. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. I talked about it in the beginning of service. So what we had was a heavenly language that was spoken. And then we had an interpretation, not a translation. That's why sometimes the tongue can be long or short, and there's an interpretation of what that actually meant. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say something in English, and then Spanish is like much longer, or German is much weirder sounding, right? And then Chinese is like, what? I don't even know. But it's just cool. It's cool. There's always a translation of what was spoken. And so what that does is it builds up, edifies, and encourages the body. And we should want to desire the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says we should eagerly desire those things. Now, they don't always have to make human sense, and they shouldn't. If they make human sense, then you don't get your faith wrapped around it. You get your head wrapped around it. And when you get your head wrapped around things, then you toss to and fro, the Bible says. Because it's just the next teaching. It's just the next belief. And right now in America, there's a lot of beliefs. And one of the major beliefs that they don't believe in is by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And there's no way that this world is ever going to know the moving of the Holy Spirit unless the church steps up, steps in, and shows them that this is real and this won't be just another fad. The world goes through fads all the time. up and down, all over. There's this belief, that belief, and get in your head and get out here and there. And oh, this is a love is love and blah, blah. I mean, it just keeps on going and going and going and going. And all that does is divide us. But the Bible unites us in Christ Jesus. So church, we got to show them and we got to believe in all the things the Bible teaches. Amen. Amen. This has nothing to do with what I'm preaching today, but praise God. God has a message for us today. There's the pre-sermon. Amen. Amen. If you're thankful to be online or you're thankful to be here in the house, will you say amen? Amen. 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 Oh, it's good to be here. Thanks, worship team, for leading us. Thank you for leading. That was awesome. Awesome. Now you don't know unless you know, right? You don't know unless you know. There's a lot of hours, there's a lot of time, there's a lot of practice, there's a lot of nerves, there's a lot of things that go on. And worship team, I want to speak to you this morning about something that God said to me. So if you're on a capacity in front of people, right? Brent just walked in, which is great. If you're a capacity of people, I want to remind you this morning what God told me in my office today. Because oftentimes I get up and I know that I'm supposed to preach and I constantly say, who am I? Are you sure you want to use me, God? There's so many more capable people and much more holy people than me. People that maybe desire this greater than I. And God just reminded me today, you constantly look at your own perspective. You constantly compare yourself to you or to others, but I have chosen you. I have spoken to you. There is no other at this moment, at this time, that I've called you into this purpose or this place. And so although you think that you are unqualified, that's what qualifies you to be qualified to be used for God. And so if you're in a capacity of a blessing of people or capacity that God has called you, I just want to remind you, it's not about you. It's about allowing yourself to be used for the kingdom of God. And every time that you compare yourself to someone else, you lose it. And you need to get back to be humbly thankful that God would even use. Like the Bible says, who would be mindful of me? God, why would you be mindful of me? But he is, and he loves us. God loves misfits. He does. So here I am. Praise God, right? He loves the outcasts, the misfits, the hurting, the broken. He came for those. He came for everyone, that not one shall be lost. So although you don't feel qualified, that's what qualifies you. You just have to be obedient and faithful. And so there's a lot of work that goes into a lot of things, and trust me, there's always a battlefield in your mind. There's a battlefield in your heart. But just give it to God and then just step out of the boat. Just step out of the boat, right? Quit looking at the boat. Quit thinking about the boat. Quit looking at the waves and determining the different things of the boat and how will that work and how does the science line up to this or that. Man, just step out of the boat. Sometimes we get hard on Peter because he stepped out in the boat and then he looked down and he sank. But there was a whole bunch of people behind him that never did anything. Right? So step out of the boat, and if you sink, that's all right. Jesus is right there. Just pick you up. You might get a little wet. That's all right. You might have needed a bath anyway. Hallelujah. Welcome to First Open Bible, like I said in the beginning, but we grew in numbers like we always do. My name is Pastor Harris, and I'm so thankful that you're here joining us online and in person as we worship the King of Kings today. And Happy New Year! Can you believe it? Woo! We missed you last week, but man, it was cold, and a lot of you people travel, and it just didn't seem safe for everybody to try to come in, because I know there's a lot of road warriors. But it was pretty gnarly last week, so I'm glad that we're kicking off the new year today. I'm glad that you're here today. And another year is here. 2021 is over, right? Over. Hey, hallelujah, right? We did the same thing when 2021 came. We said, 2020 is over. And everyone's like, oh, praise God. Man, the things of 2021 are over. This is a new year with new things. I wrote that. My wife said 2020 new, and that's literally the beginning of the sermon that God gave me over a week ago for all of us. Pastor Mark, he preached a great message 2 weeks ago about God never changing. God never changes. He never wavers. He never changes his mind. Man, it was powerful. It was good. Good. But God does move as we change. As a follower of Jesus, you're called to look ahead and move forward with power, passion, and purpose. Philippians 3, 13 and 14 says this. No. That's a good start. No. Dear brothers and sisters. Now, I'm a parent of two younger kids. I say that a lot. No. Dear brothers and sisters. I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past. And looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. And receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Praise God. We're still running the race. You're breathing today, you're still running. Even if it's with a limp, you're still running. Right? Even if you're dragging something, you're still running. Right? You're even power walking. That's so weird. Do you know there's a power walking championship? It is the weirdest thing you'll ever watch. Like, and he's coming down. It's like this, like, people behind him, you're like, my goodness. You know, you've seen those people walking and they're power walking. You're like, there's so many other ways to walk. So many other ways. Right? And you just drive on by like, I'm going to keep my love handles. That's just weird. And we're still running the race. And God's wanting to use you right now. God's word today. Use you for his purposes. It's a new year with amazing new things with God. Look ahead, move forward. God is ready. Are you? Here we go, 2020, new. So no matter your age or your current circumstances, God wants you to move forward. Never too late to find your purpose. And then walk in it. You can live a life that's meaningful and find the presence and the purpose of God in your future. First Open Bible. We're kicking off our new year with our new series, Forward. In this series, this is what I pray. I pray these two things. I pray that we find a mission that will outlive our lives. And I pray that in this series, we walk out that mission that will outlive our lives. It's okay to find one, but you better walk it out. Church, don't get stuck in your past failures or your past sins or allow the present circumstances to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose for your life. Find joy in pursuing the next steps with God and what he has for you and move forward. Come on. Hallelujah. You're excited to move forward, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the highest praise. The book I'm reading from Dr. David Jeremiah, Forward, he says this in it, quote, I see six actions in scripture that will enable you to build momentum as you press forward. Dream, focus, risk, pursue, believe, and finish, end quote. Morning, I want to focus on the first part of that statement. Build momentum as you press forward. Who loves college football? Can I get a hey, hey? Five people love it. Hallelujah. I love college football, personally. I love college football. There's been some amazing bowl games these last couple weeks. Amen? Even though the Ducks lost, the Hawkeyes lost, the Cyclones lost, the Buckeyes won. Man, that was somebody had to win. That's why I text you. I was like, go, I'm going to say it. I'm like, go Buckeyes. Somebody got to win. Somebody's got to win. That was a good Rose Bowl. Tomorrow night's the national championship. I'm pulling for anybody but Alabama. Anybody. I don't even care who it is. It can be co-college. Just beat Alabama. I don't care. Hallelujah. Right before Christmas, ESPN had this article, and it was titled, Is momentum real? An in-depth investigation of sports' most overused term. Now, this article's author, his name is David Hale. He believes it's not a real thing, but he wonders if he's wrong. So what he did is he went looking for answers, and he asked a backup quarterback. He asked a Catholic priest. He read some Aristotle. He talked to a Buddhist monk, an NFL broadcaster, and an Australian linguist. Talked to a lot of people. This was a very interesting article that I read, and it was very inspiring. So with that article coupled up with the book that I'm reading from Dr. David Jeremiah, God has a great message for us this morning. And I've titled it, Build Momentum as You Press Forward. Now, Webster defines momentum like this, quote, the motion of an object or system equal to the product of its mass and its velocity, end quote. Here's a scientific definition, mass times velocity, or mass times speed. Here's a simple definition of momentum, because some people still look at me like, what? Like, literally, I just saw this look. I wrote a simple definition for all of us today of momentum. It's mass or a system in motion. That's what it is. Now, its origins are from the late 17th century, and its root is found in Latin, and the word is mover. And mover literally just means to move. Now, you can have positive momentum, and you can have negative momentum. Amen? It depends on the object's direction, how fast it's going, and if anything's in its path. Momentum in sports is a term used to describe big plays or a lack of big plays. The term is said when a team all of a sudden hits on all cylinders, right? And starts playing together as a team, and it feels like they start going in the right direction and moving forward. It just seems easier. Like, ooh, something building up here. We're going. We're gaining momentum. Now, momentum is used to explain recent success, and it's implied in the future events are going to follow in that same trend. So in football, does this mythical force happen in shifting with each touchdown or each score, or is it only when there's an important touchdown or score? Here's an example. Let's say that there's a team that kicks a field goal after a drive stalls at the 5-yard line. Do those 3 points that they just kicked and scored, does that momentum go to that team or the opposing team that stopped them from getting a touchdown and they forced a field goal? Who gained the momentum? So once this theoretical momentum is established, how long is it going to last? Great questions, huh? So we put their thinking cap on in 2022? If not, oh my, my, my. 2020 new, put your thinking cap on a little more this year. Hallelujah. Some football players, after an incredible game, would say this, it felt as if our team was invincible. We just were unstoppable out there. There was nothing that could go wrong. We just kept scoring and scoring and scoring. It was incredible. Now, I played basketball for many, many years, and I remember momentum. Like, you could be down 15, and we always said, man, momentum can switch in just a moment. And if you have momentum on your side, 15 points might seem terrible on the scoreboard, but that's, man, that's like a couple threes, a couple twos, get to the foul line, and we're tied, right? That the momentum can switch in a hurry. Get on defense, you know, tighten up your ship and get on your guy and don't let anything come easy. Box out, get out, throw out to the outlet, get to the guy, easy lay-in. But man, see, these guys that are saying it felt like as our team was invincible, was that because momentum was on their side? Now, there's a professor of linguistics, and he said this, quote, momentum typically includes two fundamental tenses. Number one, a feeling of force upon a body. And number two, the direction in which that force is moving. So it's both a sensation, or it's both a feeling and a physical push in a new direction. It's not either or, it's an and both. Linguistically, momentum is a feeling and a physical movement in a new direction. Now, I got some questions for you. Is there a such thing as spiritual momentum? I want you to think about it. Think about it. Do we have momentum in church services? Do you have momentum, or can you have momentum in your personal walk with Christ? Some people in the past have said, after we have a few anointed services in a row, like we get our feelings going and we're just feeling God is moving, and people are praying, and people are on their knees like this morning, and people are dancing and worshiping and laying before God, and people are yelling and screaming and getting set free, and all kinds of stuff's going on. And we start seeing more involvement and growing numbers in the church and growing numbers in our outreaches and growing numbers in all these things that we do and all these connections and getting online and connecting and bringing friends and all this stuff that's going on. People say, we must be gaining spiritual momentum, right? Now, we don't say in church we're gaining momentum per se. Here's what we say instead. Revival's close, right? We're starting to see the beginning of revival. Or you might say something like this. God is really moving in this ministry. Momentum is a sensation between drive and one's current actions. Momentum is a push forward. It's mass in motion. It's a system in motion. It's a belief in I can do this, or we can do this. Church, without saying anything out loud, I want you to think of another thing. I got another question for you. Can you think of any stories or principles in the Bible that support this concept? Think about it. At home, think about it. You're at home and you think about something, just type it up. Think about a principle or a story about momentum, spiritual momentum. Think about it. This is where reading your word would be good. Because if you don't know your word, you have no idea what an answer is. And that's not to condemn you, it's to encourage you to move forward and read your word. Read your word. Now, Aristotle's theory of telos, he suggests that all humans have some innate drive to fulfill their potential, to fulfill their purpose or design. This is what he said, quote, a supreme end to man's endeavor. Now, we know the teaching of the Bible tells us that our innate drive is from the Holy Spirit within us. It's not just ourselves, our own drive, right? You have those self-help books that push you forward and gain momentum in your life and be a better person and gain knowledge and wisdom and money and people and friends and influence and power and all these things. We know from the Word of God that, yes, we have to do something, but that comes from the Holy Spirit. And our full potential, our full purpose is to look like Christ and act like Christ. The Bible tells us, the Apostle Paul says it this way in one of his letters to the church found in Ephesians chapter 4. It's in one verse right here, and it's in multiple places, but verse 13 says this, this I will continue until all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Amen. That's our full potential. Momentum is not defined by probability. Momentum is not determined by percentages or predictions either. Because predictions don't always match the outcome. That's why we love crazy, unpredictable endings or a good underdog story. That's why we like to read about the stories of the Bible that give us hope. That's why we're here this morning, even though your life might be a mess all around you. Because predictions don't always match the outcome. Now, there's not a single person in this room or anybody online or anybody in the history that can say, Christ is my Savior, and I'm going to choose to follow him, and I'm going to do great things for the kingdom of God, because the percentages said that it looked like that's how it was going to end up. Actually, the world's probabilities are against us. The earthly predictions are not in our favor. But in God's word, momentum is always on our side. Why? Because we move with God. But you have to give him your mass so we can move at his velocity. Forgetting the past and pressing forward to receive the prize. And momentum is the power of the Holy Spirit in action, causing the church to be righteously stimulated to arise and fulfill its vision. Momentum is evidenced by joy, expectation, zeal, bold worship, and a willingness to work together. It's like a mighty wave that carries all that are in it by the power and the movement of the wave. People who advance spiritually are those who maintain a cutting edge in attitude. Have an attitude of gratitude this year, church. You got to have a cutting edge of attitude. And in ministry, to advance spiritually, you have to have a cutting edge in attitude and in ministry. You don't have to be a fivefold ministry to be in ministry. All of you are preachers, and all of you have a job to do. You're ambassadors of Christ everywhere that you go. You're the Bible with skin on, and everything that you say, everything you do will influence someone to the greater measure or the worse measure for the kingdom of God. So you can't get out of it just because you're not behind a pulpit. Everywhere you go, behind that desk is a pulpit. Behind that cell phone is a pulpit. Facebook can even be a pulpit. Some of y'all pulpits are on fire. Okay. Advance spiritually by maintaining a cutting edge of attitude and in ministry by moving constantly forward and fulfilling your God-given mission. But here's a concept, church. Get me. You got to move to gain momentum. There it is. I could have just said that and threw a Bible verse at you and been done. You have to move. If you want to move, you want to go forward, if you want to gain momentum, you got to move. Now, Newton's law, his first law of motion, it states this: unless acted upon by a force, an object at rest will stay at rest, and an object in motion will stay in motion. Unless acted upon by a force, an object at rest will stay at rest, and an object in motion will stay in motion. So someone or something that is stationary, it's going to stay that way. Someone or something that is moving is going to keep moving. Now, there's a thing called friction that can cause a moving object to change its velocity, its speed, and even possibly change its trajectory. I practiced that word, but trajectory. There you go, trajectory. Thank you, thank you. All you do is get tripped up on that word the whole time, you got problems. God's got a word for you. Ye without sin cast the first stone. Okay. Pastor Mark picked something up. I saw it. The thing called friction causes a moving object to change its velocity and even possibly its trajectory. Something that is moving when met with a force or met with friction might keep going, but it's going to slow down. It's not going to continue in the same speed that it started with. If enough force or friction is applied to that moving object, its direction could change completely or even stop the object altogether. Spiritually, this happens to the best of us. We may get off to a great start, but then we encounter resistance. We encounter friction. We encounter a force. We encounter hardships, difficulty, COVID, fear, confusion, broken relationships, offense, unforgiveness, or whatever gets in our way, and we lose momentum. We lose our momentum. Some folks even come to a stop spiritually. Nope. I got hurt at church. I got hurt from that church person. You're a church person. Come on. You hurt people. I got hurt by that thing that somebody said, or something happened, or this person passed away, or that person got sick, or I got hurt, or I lost my job, or blah, blah, blah. It just goes on and on. Welcome to life. Welcome to life. That's why you need Christ. That's why he came. If we're still in the garden riding unicorns, we wouldn't need that. Right? Fighting with T-Rexes? I mean, we wouldn't need that. But we need Jesus. Some people just stop spiritually, and it's hard for them to get started again, and sadly, a lot of people would prefer just staying put. While some of us have not encountered much resistance yet, others of us have already felt like throwing in the towel. We get off to a great start, but then life hits us, oh, right in the face. And we lose our momentum. We slow down. We might even change direction. And if we're not careful, just stop altogether from walking God's perfect plan for us. By the way, the word does say, do not forsake the fellowship of the believers. I believe it's a scheme of the enemy. This is not the first time the world has had pestilence. Not the first time that there's been sickness and disease that has spread all over the entire world. It's not the first time people have been faced with things. It's been worse. People's body parts aren't falling off. This ain't leprosy. Do not forsake the fellowship of the believers. We need each other. We need each other. We need to come together. Maybe in 2020 new, you ask God, what's the new way that I need to meet with people? I'm not saying be dumb. Some people are like, we should just run in that hospital and pray for all the sick people on COVID floor. Unless the Holy Spirit said it, that's just stupid. You be led by the Holy Spirit or be led by yourself, right? Yeah, you got the boldness of the Holy Spirit, but even Jesus was led everywhere by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It was by the Spirit's wisdom. It was by the Spirit's walk in front of him. It was by the Spirit moving him forward to these places. He was listening. He wasn't telling the Spirit what to do, right? We tell the Spirit, we tell God what to do. We got to move forward with God. God tells us what to do. We follow him. Some folks just stop spiritually. You might get off to a great start. We got a new year. New mercies are here. We can get off to a great start. It's January. It's cold. It's ungodly cold. It makes no sense to be under 0 degrees. I don't understand. One question I'll ask God is, why? Why? My hands, my back, my face, everything's is cracking and it hurts. Why? But I do thank you. There ain't no bugs. Praise God. Eat that, Florida. Eat that. Texas and California. Our pros and cons right now might be short, but we got that on you. Enjoy your mosquitoes. You tan people, okay. See, we're about to lose momentum because I'm just all fear. I'm over here, bring it back. Bring it back, Pastor. You're losing momentum. People start strong, but they might slow down, they might change direction, and if we're not careful, we might just stop altogether from walking in the plan and the purpose and the power that God has given us. God's Word and the Holy Spirit are often, they work through three major things. We heard it on Wednesday. So many things with Wednesday lined up today. It was awesome. God's Word and His Holy Spirit often work through three major things, through people, other believers. Through God's written word, logos, written word. And through sermons, spoken word, like this one. These have been forces that God uses to get us moving in the right direction again. Anybody been stirred by a sermon before and said, oh, I got that, that was for me. There's something that was in me. God must have wrote that sermon just for me. Pastor has been in my house seeing what I've been saying and seeing how I've been acting and been following me. No. But the Holy Spirit has. He's watching, right? I love that shirt. Or you see that shirt with Jesus like this? He goes, I saw that. Oh, it's so funny. Because it's true, right? I saw that. It's like, oh, you're right. Omnipresent. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us, church, what's that word right there? Throw off everything. Say everything. That hinders. And the sin that so easily, what's the word? Entangles. You ever seen a bug on a spider web? Doing everything they can because they know they about to die. The enemy about to suck me dry. I'm about to die. Come on, fly. I got to get out of here. And then if you're too entangled, you can't get out. Good thing God comes with a garden hose and shh, be set free, hallelujah. Wash me. But sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who is he? He's the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Somebody in here needs to throw off some resistance this morning. Somebody's got to throw off some friction. Somebody's got to throw off a force that has been upon you and get their momentum going in the right direction again with God. Somebody in here. Weighty things of the past, 2021, have stopped you, and you've been going in the wrong direction. But this is 2022. His mercies are new. His momentum is here. It's a new year. It's time to gain momentum with God again. Amen? If you want that, clap your hands to God. Amen? Now, momentum reminds me of faith. Here's how it reminds me of faith. Following, believing, and moving with forces we cannot see. We cannot touch, and we cannot measure. But the outcome is inspiring, incredible, moving, and memorable. Having faith is complete confidence in God. And it's having complete confidence in His will. Did you hear me, church? You can believe in God, but not His will. That thing that happened to you, surprisingly, you don't understand it, but it's His will. It's His will. It might hurt now, but God doesn't look at the present. He knows your future. He's moving forward. He's past, present, and future. He's today and forever. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is all in all. He's before time. He's at the end of time. He's all of eternity, and He never, ever ends, and His will is perfect and pleasing. Amen? You got to believe in Him. Yes, you do. But you also have to move forward with Him. You got to move. Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Now here's the similarity between momentum and faith. It involves people humbling themselves to say, this, we can do this together. God, you and I, we can do this together. I can't do it on my own. But you and I, we can move together. We can go forward, right? It also says this. It says this. Momentum and faith, they have similarities to say, we can do this collectively together. I can't do it with you, right? Most of you, I would never even know you, ever, if it weren't for Christ Jesus. I wouldn't live in Iowa if it weren't for Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'd be visiting the snow, wouldn't be visiting me like I grew up. No, but you can collectively say, God, we're in this together. I need to be in it together with your church. There are different parts of the body that I will never be. And if we're going to move, we got to be a whole body collectively, right? We got to walk that out. We got to move forward together. And when we miss a knee, we're going to walk with a limp and we won't go as fast. If we miss a hand, we won't be able to lay it on somebody. If we miss the ear, we can't hear what God is saying. If we miss the lips, we won't know what God is saying. If we miss the eyes, we can't see what God sees and we can't know what we're going to go forward. And if you're missing something, it just doesn't work right. Even a baby toe, your balance is off. It don't matter how small you think you are. Even with a pinky, you ain't never going to give nobody a high five. It's a high four. Woo, right? If you're missing two of them, like I said last night, it's like a Ninja Turtle high five. You got, what's up? All of us are important is what I'm saying. It don't matter how small you think you may be. It don't matter what part you think you might play. But we ain't going to never move forward collectively as a church body unless we're all in it together. And we all say, God, I got to humble myself and believe that you have a call in my life, even if it's a pinky toe, even if it's an ear, even if it's an elbow, whatever you call me to, I got a purpose, a plan, and I got to go forward because I'm part of the body and we can do this together. Let's gain momentum together. All right, I'm almost to the end here. Hallelujah. So momentum in sports is a term to describe good players doing good things they were always capable of accomplishing. Faith in motion can be described as believers coming together, believing in the same things, going in the same direction, and doing things they were always capable of accomplishing in Christ Jesus. Now, players make plays. Players make plays. That's just how it is. You've seen some crazy plays like this is out of bounds. I mean, they're just catching it, like leaning over, falling out of bounds. I mean, crazy one-handed, right? Like that Super Bowl where the guy caught it on his helmet, right? And that was the only way the Giants would ever win. It's the only way that they still don't win. So, okay. Sorry, Giant fans, but yeah, right? But players make plays. The best ones are ready when a good opportunity presents itself. A team gains momentum when each player plays their role. Most games are like faith. They don't only depend on the extraordinary moments. Most wins happen because players are willing to show up, grind it out, and prepare for the best. Church, maybe your momentum is determined not by what happens to you, but instead your momentum is determined by what you have prepared for. Church, your momentum is not maybe determined by what has happened to you. We have all faced things. We're all facing things. And bad news, you're going to face some more. But maybe your momentum is not determined by what you've walked through or what has happened to you. Maybe your momentum is going to be determined by what you are preparing for. Are you ready to move forward with God in 2022? Are you ready to let go of things that so easily entangle you? Are you ready to let go and not slow up and let those things stop you? Yeah. Then you got to build momentum today as you press forward with God. Worship team, can you come? no matter your age. No matter your age. I'm about to turn 40. Can't believe it. Can't believe it. I know, right? Where was I? It's crazy how life goes quick. When you're young, you think, man, life is so slow. When you start getting older and older and older, you're like, where did my life go? Like, half my life might be over. I don't even know. How long is God gonna, and I get it why some of you older people really want to pray for the rapture, because every year I get older, I want the rapture to come. I do. I get it. But it doesn't matter your age. I don't care how old you actually are this side of heaven. It don't matter how many gray hairs you got or you got hair at all. It don't matter if you're young, you're old, or what you feel like, or whatever your current circumstance says that you're going through. God wants you to move forward. He wants you to move forward. It's never too late to find your purpose and walk in it. You can live a life that's meaningful and find the presence and the purpose of God in your future. You can, and if you really desire, you will. Now look at me, church. Don't lose me. I got less than a page left. Important. Everybody, they see the worship team, they're like, oh, cool, what are we going to eat for lunch, right? Come to the altar right now if that's what you thought. Come right now. It's fine. It's fine. You can stay there. God knows. I saw that. Now here's the church. This is what the world needs. The church in 2022 must be healthy. Yes. With great momentum. Not relenting or wishing for the past or looking back at the things, the way things were before. Man, I don't know how many times I wish we could go back. The new normal and all that. Let me tell you what the Bible says, Luke 9:62. But Jesus told them, anyone who puts their hand to the plow then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Woo! Don't wish for the past. Don't look back. God's moving. He wants you to go forward. You must plow ahead. Do not let up. Find your voice and never cower to the darkness. Now, I pray this month's series, Forward, will enable you to rediscover, reset, and renew your trust in God as you move into the next chapter that He has waiting for you. Now, I want to speak to everybody in here. If you're stuck in a rut, say amen. Hey, when you confess, you put it out, the things of the dark are put into the light, and then you can be set free. Who the Son sets free is what? Free indeed, okay? So I want to ask you to be vulnerable for a moment. If you're stuck in a rut, say amen. You're being pulled in all kinds of directions, say amen. If you're overwhelmed by responsibilities and weightiness of this world, say amen. Maybe somebody in here is just seeking something new because you have a whole ho-hum life, say amen. This month, we're asking God for this. It don't matter where you're at, any of those you said amen to. This month, we're asking God to fuel us, to give us fortitude, and prepare us with tools to move forward. The world in 2022 needs the people of God to do two things. Find a mission that will outlive your life. The world in 2022 needs people of God also to have you walk out that mission that will outlive your life. Will you stand? Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you that God, that you're moving in the midst of us. God, that you're going before us. It says that in every battle you go before us, that you fight for us. But it doesn't say we stand still. We got to go forward in that battle. As you go forward, we want to go forward. And God, I ask that right now you anoint the people in a supernatural way that they've never felt before. Like my wife said, and like I believe it is the word for us, is 2020 new. If we hope for the past, we're going to get the past. If we look to the things as the way they should, the way they were, we're not going to get what they should be. The world is changing, but you're unchanging. But we got to move with you. God, as our life changes, I pray that we gain momentum. I pray against friction in the name of Jesus. Anything that has caused our velocity, our speed, that has been chasing after you and the promises that you have for our life and the things that you've called us to and the purpose and the plan that you've had for our life, any friction that has stopped, God, I pray that you move it out of the way, or we recognize that it is not stronger than the momentum that we've gained with you, God, and that we will keep moving forward. I pray for the circumstances that have come and the challenges that we've had, and I pray for the people that have stopped spiritually. I pray that this day, God, we claim that this day is the day that they gain momentum. It doesn't have to be a run. It can be a walk. And maybe it's not even a walk yet. Maybe it's just a step. But you got to move. Thank you, God, that you help us move when we're stuck. Thank you, God, that when we're sinking, you pull us out. Thank you, God, that when we don't know what to do, you turn us around. God, thank you that when we don't know where we're going or what to do, that you gave us a word and a purpose and a plan and a future and a hope that we can look to that puts us in the right direction. We thank you for the people of God. And I pray that right now in 2022, there'll be a new anointing upon First Open Bible online and in person, that we will be people of your word and encouragement, that we will speak to people in situations and we won't even know what they're going through. But God, that we help gain momentum for other people because we're going to be used by you. Make us mouthpieces for you, God, to speak your hope, speak your truth, speak your love, and get people out of the mire and the clay and the mud and the things of the past, and to go forward into the things that you've called us to. I pray that things come out of our mouths that we don't even know where they came from, but we know that you've anointed them. We know that you've touched them. Use us in a new way. Help us step out of the boat, God. And let us be thankful and excited for the new things that you have for 2022. And I do pray this last thing, God. When we face challenges and when we face heartache and when we are upset and unforgiving and broken and hurting and lost, God, that you bring a word, you bring your presence, and you help us gain momentum, that we don't slow down, that we don't go a different direction, and that we will not stop. I pray that this be the year of momentum, that we go forward into the things that you've called us to. 2021 is done. 2022 is here, and 2020 is gone. We don't have to think of those things or fall into those things, God. There's new things with you, and we want to know them. Open our eyes. Open our hearts, open our mouths to receive those things and to walk forward with you. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. Amen.